Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I'd like to say good morning to everyone and welcome you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and we're thankful you are listening in today. I want to make just a quick announcement before I go any further, and I'd like to take the opportunity to invite all the youth out to Mount Lebanon Baptist Church this coming Saturday night, April the 21st at 6 p.m. We're going to have our monthly youth meeting. Sometimes we move this around to different churches, but this Saturday night it's going to be at Mount Lebanon. It's going to start at 6 p.m., and Brother Nathan Green from Bible Way Baptist Church.
Ethan Green. Yes.
Why do I always do that?
I don't know.
I apologize, Brother Ethan. I don't know. I did that before. He's going to be there. And he's Pastor Michael Green's son. I think he's 17 years old, but he's going to be preaching for us. And we're looking forward to that. And so we'd love to invite our young people to come out. 6 p.m., we are located 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. Noah's here with us, and he's correcting me, helping me stay straight over there. And so, good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here. And we want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, and also those who listen in on Saturday mornings in Bristol, Virginia on AM 690 WZAP.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. We hardly ever go anywhere that we don't meet somebody that tells us that they listen to the radio broadcast, and we certainly do appreciate you taking time out of your day to do that. Some people take their lunch hour early so they can listen or make sure they're in the car or near a radio. And, you know, for the past several weeks, we've been talking about the upcoming May the 8th primary here in North Carolina. There's going to be a constitutional amendment on that ballot, a vote concerning marriage, and we've been talking about that for at least the past 3 weeks. And then last fall, I spent about 4 weeks talking about the subject when it first came up. And so we've probably dedicated more time to this one subject than anything we've ever done. And that is because of the importance of the issue at hand. Last Sunday morning at church, one of our men made the statement that it was a shame that we had to actually vote on something like this. And if you really think about it, who would have ever thought, you know, 20 years ago, certainly when I was growing up, that we'd ever come to a time and place in the United States of America where we had to take precautions to vote on an amendment to protect the institution of marriage in our state. It is certainly a sign of the times, and it is not a good sign of the times either. Personally speaking, I would rather move along to something else, but this subject is so important, I believe we need to take some time again today, and I probably will deal with this, at least mention it, all the way up until May the 8th. And the reason I say I'd like to move along to something else is because it's the more you study into it, for me, it's more than just a surface subject. Oh, well, you know, this is good or bad. I've really done a lot of study into this subject. I've looked at both sides, what both sides are saying. I have taken the time to investigate, talk with pastors in other states and places that have same-sex marriage in their state. I've done a lot of research concerning this, and it's not something that edifies your spirit and makes you happy in the Lord. It's a depressing subject, and that's why I say I'd rather move along to something else, but I believe it's important that we deal with this and do all we can to promote and pass this marriage amendment for marriage. We were studying last Sunday morning, we started in the book of Deuteronomy. You know, that's the fifth book in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy, there's a lot of things that are mentioned again that has already been mentioned before in the first four books of the Bible. And it's about the, it's called the second law, or the reinstating of the law. And the reason that they reinstated the law, or that Moses came along and went through all of those laws again, is because there was a younger generation by that time that was coming along, and they needed to know what the law of God was. It wasn't good enough just to teach it to the first generation, but this is something that needs to be taught to the second and the third and right on down the line. And so you have the giving again of the law. And I'll tell you, if the Christian community, if the faith community does not come out and fight and win this battle, then my children and my grandchildren are going to reap the consequences of it. So this is very important, and the truth needs to be gotten out concerning this constitutional amendment. I have once again today the sample ballot. This is actually what is going to be on the ballot when you go to vote on May the 8th. And the reason I'm going over this again is because every week I've had somebody come up and say, boy, I really hope this doesn't pass. Well, I know from whom I'm talking to that they want it to pass, but they're confused on it. And my goodness, just read it closely when you go to vote. This is something, if you are for traditional marriage, marriage between a man and a woman, this is something that you would want to vote for. And I know that's odd for us to think about voting for something. Usually we vote against. Even when you go to vote for a person, you're usually voting against one, not really for the other. But anyway, this is something you'd want to be for if you are for the biblical definition of marriage. And this is how it's going to read on the ballot when you go to vote. It's going to say referendum. Underneath that, there's going to be a block that says constitutional amendment. And underneath that, it's going to say constitutional amendment to provide that marriage between one man and one woman is the only domestic legal union that shall be valid or recognized in this state, and it's either for or against. And so if you are for traditional biblical marriage, you would want to be for this constitutional amendment. And there's all kinds of misinformation everywhere, from the local newspaper, which is not much, to the Winston-Salem Journal, to the governor of the state. I have heard them talking about Amendment 1, Amendment 1. I even seen a song on Facebook that somebody had posted, and they were talking about Amendment 1. There is no such thing as an Amendment 1. It's not called or referred to as Amendment 1. There is so much misinformation concerning this that it just astounds me, and it lets me know, it reminds me about the seriousness of the subject, that there would be such an effort to misinform and deceive the general public concerning what this is really all about. And today I'd like to deal with some of the lies and misinformation being promoted concerning this amendment. And I was reminded again this morning, I was reading in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 17, verse number 4, the Bible says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. You know, the devil, if you know anything about the devil, if you know anything about the Bible, the devil is a liar. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 44 that he's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. Every lie stems from him. He deals in the area of lying and deception. And when you don't have a leg to stand on concerning the truth, well, you have to deal in the area of lies and deception. And that is what those that are against this amendment are dealing in, is a great deal of deception, misinformation, and lies concerning this. I'm going to go through several today. I'm going to try my best to. Number one is the deception, is that some people act like that this is a gray area, and that the Bible is either silent upon this or could go either way. And the fact is that the Bible is not silent upon this subject. The Bible is very clear about what it says about marriage and what it says about homosexuality and what is referred to as same-sex union today, but that's homosexuality. In the Bible, it's referred to as sodomy and uncleanness and that which is against nature. But anyway, this is not something that the Bible is silent upon. But just let me give you an example. This is from the Winston-Salem Journal, Monday, April the 16th, concerning this amendment. There is a woman, the Reverend Chantal McKinney, Associate Rector for Mission and Parish Life at St. Paul's Episcopal Church, said the amendment is narrowly written and discriminates against non-traditional families. The Bible says all people are made in the image of God, so nobody should be discriminated against, she said. Then she went on, she said this, "From the depths of my soul, I am opposed to this amendment because I believe Jesus would be opposed to this amendment," she said. Now, I've got news for her. Jesus would be for this amendment. And if you want to know what Jesus thinks about marriage, if you want to know what Jesus thinks about this subject, you don't have to wonder. All you have to do is read what the Bible says. Mark chapter number 10, Matthew chapter number 19, Jesus Christ, his words, from the words in red, we might say, Matthew 19, verse 4 and 5, when he was discussing the subject of marriage, he said this, "Have ye not read that which he made them at the beginning, made them male and female?" Now, Jesus is referring to Genesis chapter number 1 and chapter number 2. That's what he means when he says, "Have ye not read?" Don't you know what the Bible says? That's what he was saying to those that questioned him concerning the marriage. Read the Bible. "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said," this is Jesus saying what the Bible says, "for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." Jesus would be for this definition of marriage between a man and a woman because he made man and woman, put them into the garden and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." So this is not a gray area concerning the Word of God. Jesus would be for this amendment. Moses would be for this amendment. Now, Moses, on the negative aspect of it, the Bible says, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." And so there was a law against sodomy in the Old Testament, and it was coupled, or it's grouped in with child sacrifices upon the altar of Molech, Leviticus 18 and 21. And then 22 says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Then Leviticus 18 and 23 says that a man or a woman should not lie down with a beast, that it's an abomination. So Moses groups the sin of sodomy in with child sacrifices and lying down and having a sexual union with an animal. He puts all those in together. So Moses would be for this constitutional amendment concerning marriage and this definition. And the Apostle Paul in the Bible would be for this amendment. Here's what he says about it in Romans chapter number 1. Now, many of Paul's writings we could go to. Ephesians chapter number 5 talks about the husband loving the wife like Christ loved the church. Here in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." He's talking about a nation that turns against the Word of God. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things." He's talking about they turned over to idol worship. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And so the Apostle Paul talks about this subject of men and women and their union or lack thereof together. And he says the result of that is God would give them over to a reprobate mind. So this is not an area that the Bible is gray. This is not something that, well, we just don't know what the Bible says. Anybody that is intellectually honest and knows anything about the Bible would agree that the Bible, Jesus, Moses, Paul, right on down the line, they're for marriage between a man and between a woman. The Bible is clear concerning this. So, deception number one, we don't know what the Bible says. No, we do know what the Bible says. Deception number two, people said, well, this is discrimination against a certain group of people. That's what that woman said, Chantel McKinney, what I read out of the paper. She said it's narrowly written and discriminates against non-traditional families. She said the Bible says all people are made in the image of God, so nobody should be discriminated against, she said. Beverly Perdue, the governor of the state of North Carolina. Thank the Lord she's not running for re-election. But anyway, she's against the amendment. And she is evidently for same-sex marriage. She said this on a YouTube video she put out last week, I believe it was. She said, in part, our Constitution is for guaranteeing rights, not taking them away. No one has the right to put discrimination of any kind into our Constitution. So there's a lot of talk about this being discrimination for against the same-sex marriage movement. But I've got news for her and all the rest concerned. Our Constitution and every other constitution in the United States and the Constitution of the United States is full of discrimination. Not in the sense that most people think about discrimination. The word discrimination, if you look it up in the dictionary, which it seems a lot of people have lost their dictionaries in these last days we're living in, but the word discrimination means the act of distinguishing, the act of making or observing a difference. Distinction as the discrimination between right and wrong. Do you know discrimination can be a good thing when we're talking about distinguishing between what is right and what is wrong? And making a difference between two, making a choice, a moral choice. That's what discrimination is. Discrimination says that you have to be 18 years old to vote. Well, that's discriminating against all the 17, 16, 15, 14, and 13 and 12 years old. It's making a choice. It's saying there's a difference between being 18 and being 12 years old. Discrimination says you have to be 18 to vote. Discrimination says, this is what our North Carolina Constitution says, Article Chapter 1, Section 17. Discrimination says slavery is forever prohibited. Do you know that's discrimination? That's making a choice. That's distinguishing a difference. Discrimination says a senator must be 25 years old in order to be a senator in North Carolina. Article 2, Section 6. Now, what if somebody said, well, I'm 24 years old and 6 months, and I know as much as anybody else. Why can't I run? Well, because there's discrimination there. You have to be 25. Discrimination says elected officials must take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. Well, what if I'm a Muslim and I believe in Sharia law for the land? Well, sorry, you're discriminated against. Do you know even the Constitution of North Carolina says that a person is disqualified from office if they do not how does it say it there? I don't have my finger on the page. If they do not acknowledge the being of Almighty God, you know, if you're an atheist, you can't even run for elected office in North Carolina. That is what our Constitution says. Look it up and read it for yourself. But it does say that. So let me say, every law is discriminatory because it distinguishes. It makes a difference. It says one thing is legal and another thing is not. It is a choice. It is a distinguishing between what is right and what is wrong. And so to say that this is discrimination being written into our Constitution is smoke and mirrors. That doesn't hold water. There is discrimination, and sometimes discrimination can be positive and good. But I must move on. Number three, the third deception I want to deal with. Somebody says, well, what about my civil rights? What about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for me? Why would the law want to restrict my freedom, my liberty that I have? Well, people, and I've heard this referred to as civil rights. Civil rights. People liken it unto what went on in the 60s in the United States of America. But that is not. Now, the word civil, it's from a Latin word which means is civis, where our word citizen comes from. The word civil is relating to the community or to the policy and government of the citizens and subjects of a state, as in the phrases civil rights, civil government, civil privileges, civil war, civil justice. It's relating to society as a whole. So when we're talking about our civil rights, we're talking about our rights as pertains to society. And I believe most people would agree that marriage is good for society. Marriage is in every society since the beginning of time. You can't go anywhere and find a time or a place where there's no such thing as marriage between a man and a woman. But same-sex marriage is not marriage at all. In the correct definition of the term, it's something else. We're not talking about bringing same-sex marriage alongside traditional marriage and letting them live co-equally together. We're talking about changing the definition of marriage from what it is to what it is not. And that, my friends, affects all of society. A homosexual person has a personal right to do whatever they want to do. But the Constitution does not guarantee civil rights for moral choices. I could probably take a whole broadcast and deal with that subject. But there is a difference between civil rights and personal individual freedoms that we have. And we, the people, should not be required to help foot the bill for someone's lifestyle choice. There's a website called Mass Equality that is pro-LGTB, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and it talks about in that their website the things that they're for. They have a section called their priorities, what they want to do the most. Now, this is pro homosexual movement. This website I went to, Mass Equality, you can go there yourself. But one of their priorities that they are trying to do, and it has several there, but one of them, it says this: with the rate of HIV infections rising dramatically, particularly among young gay men and people of color, it's clear the fight against AIDS is far from over. Do you know what the homosexual lifestyle does? It kills people. It causes AIDS. That's a fact. And even among those that are pro-homosexuals, they talk about the rise of AIDS among young gay men and people of color. The fight from AIDS. You know what causes AIDS? A homosexual lifestyle. It affects all of us. All of us should not have to foot the bill for somebody's perverted lifestyle choice, but that's what same-sex marriage wants to do. Bring it in and everybody help pay and foot the bill and all these things. So civil rights, I must move on, is different from personal individual liberty. You want to live like that? Go ahead. But I shouldn't be expected to pay for your lifestyle choice. I shouldn't be expected to pay my insurance to go up because of the way you choose to live. Civil rights affects all of society. And so that's why this is important. Number four, somebody would say, well, this is something that just the Republicans are doing and all the Democrats ought to be against it. Let me remind you this morning that it was a democratically controlled North Carolina that made same-sex marriage against the law in 1996. The Democrats were in control then. They passed a law outlawing, making it illegal. I mean, this is on the statutes right now in North Carolina that same-sex marriage is against the law. In 1996, the Democrats done that. The Republicans haven't been in control in North Carolina for over 100 years. That is why we are the last state in the Southeast. We're the only state in the Southeast that does not have a constitutional protection in their constitution concerning marriage. And so you can't say that the Republicans done this. Do you know this amendment that we'll be voting on in the primary on May the 8th, it had to be called for by a two-thirds concurrence of all the members of each house of the General Assembly. That included Democrats. This is not just something that the Republicans are doing. And so that's a lie for somebody to come along and say, well, this is Democrats, we're Republicans, we're against what they're for. It's not. It's a question that affects all of society, and I am thankful that it's being put on the ballot for the people to choose. I want to commend the Watauga County Board of Commissioners for passing a resolution that they were for this. I commend all of them, and I condemn the one that didn't. And of course, they know who they are. Shame on them. Shame on them. God help you. I must move on. Number five. What about separation of church and state? Well, somebody says, and I even had a guy tell me this. He said, church ought to stay out of the legal questions. The church ought to stay out of my bedroom. Well, let me say, there are churches, there are pastors, so-called, there's rectors, rabbis, bishops, priests, all across the board that are on both sides. I've been reading it in the paper, the local paper. Certain churches have taken out ads saying that they are against this amendment. So that argument will not hold water either. What this boils down to is a choice between right and wrong, between what is righteous and what is evil, what God says and what not caring what God says. That's what it boils down to. Another thing I've heard, well, what about love? I love my partner and I ought to be able to marry them. You know, a lot of people don't really understand what love is anyway. If your daughter came, 16 years old, she said, Daddy, I love this man. He's 35 years old. He just got out of prison. He wants to take me to Vegas, and we're going to join a biker gang, and I just love him, and he loves me, and this is the best thing it ever was. Do you know what is a good father, what you'd tell your daughter? You'd say, honey, you don't know what love is. And you know, there's a lot of people in this world. They talk about they love this and love that. They don't have any idea what love is. Do you know what real love is? I read in the Bible, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God commendeth or showed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's real love. Jesus died upon the cross and gave his life so to keep you and I out of hell, not to help us on our way and say any old thing will do, but to save us from our sins. That's the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Jesus died according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, that Jesus died to save us from our sins. That's what real love is all about. Don't say that Christian people don't love children. The reason I'm against this is one of the reasons is that I love children. I don't want to see them messed up. I don't want to, and here's what will happen. You'll end up counseling. I'll end up counseling somebody that is fighting against a homosexual lifestyle because they've been told in school that it's all right and they have to experiment and all this stuff. I want to spare children from that. I love children. People, Christians love children. Don't say that. Don't say that. Solomon prayed for discretion and discernment. as a young king, he said in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9, he said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. I'm praying that the good people of North Carolina will have enough discretion that they'll be able to choose between what is right and between what is wrong, and they'll make the choice. I want to encourage you today to go out, talk to your friends and your neighbors and people in your church, and tell them the truth concerning this amendment. This is a good thing, and if you are for traditional biblical marriage, you will be for this amendment. It's a good thing. I encourage you to go out. Noah's going to give the contact information. Thank you for listening today.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.